JC Corcoran Podcast.
...1976, Terry Bradshaw put on an album called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Lonesome I Could Cry.
Can you give me a couple of bars of the big hit? The last word in lonesome is me.
The last word in lonesome is me. The last word in lonesome is me. My heart is as lonely as a heart can be lonely. The last word in lonesome is me.
Who yelled encore? Don't do that. don't
yell. You didn't encore. Think I'd do that, did you?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
And with that, the JC Corcoran Podcast is rolling for Friday, the 14th of May, 2021. And hey, you know, if you are fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear your mask anymore, which is great because people weren't wearing them anyhow. People had pretty much given up on the whole mask thing unless they were going into a store where it was required, or a restaurant or something like that. But the rest of the civilization had pretty much given up on it, I think. So, and again, we have another example of insiders, your news insider. We were talking about this with regard to sports. Every radio station, especially all the sports stations, have a Cardinal insider, a Rams insider, whatever the case may be. We got an insider. You're going to get the information better and faster than any other place because we got an insider. All right. But then when something really, really big happens, like the Nolan Arenado trade or something like that, everybody seems to get the information at the exact same time. So yesterday, the CDC has their news conference, and all of a sudden, no more masks, and nobody saw it coming. Everybody, the people on CNN, everybody was going up and down the dial, and people are like, well, we didn't know that was coming. It's like, yeah, because you don't have an insider. Don't look now, but Jack Flaherty is 7-0. And by the way, Colton Wong made a play in yesterday's game that was just highlight reel stuff. Just absolutely magnificent. The Cardinals are the best team in baseball. Over to football, no big surprise here. Tom Brady and the Bucks are playing the New England Patriots in New England this year. And tickets are going for between $1,100 and $12,000. By the way, if Brady keeps up his current pace for passing yards per game, he's going to surpass Drew Brees for the NFL's career passing record during week 4, which just happens to be the game at New England. Wouldn't that be wild? The internet got everybody sort of excited yesterday about the idea that, oh boy, look at this. We got the first trailer for the Friends reunion, which is going to be on HBO Max on the 27th of this month. Special guest appearances, Lady Gaga, BTS, Justin Bieber, Reese Witherspoon, Tom Selleck. He's going to do that appearance on the Friends reunion. He's got to get back to trying to take your house. But they're like, okay, the first trailer has been posted. And what it is, it's about 20 seconds of all of them just walking along, and it's shot from behind, so you only see that. That's not much of a trailer. What's Paul McCartney up to? Well, he's 78 years old. He doesn't even need reading glasses because he practices what he calls eye yoga. It's basically just a routine of moving your eyes as far as you can, up, down, side to side, and diagonally. I'd never heard of this before. Maybe it's just something that he made up. Speaking of Paul, he will be one of the people being interviewed by Gayle King in a CBS News special tonight at 7 o'clock, also former President Barack Obama. Can't bring up Gayle King without bringing up Oprah. She says she still regrets asking one question. It was when she was interviewing Sally Field, and she asked Sally Field if Burt Reynolds, who she was with at the time, slept with his toupee on. Sally went cold on her, and the interview was basically over. Jimmy Fallon developing a Kids Tonight show with NBC. It's going to be hosted by kids, and it'll have kids in charge of everything. The show will feature bits similar to the ones on the actual Tonight Show. If I were Jimmy Fallon, I would be working on making sure that I wasn't canceled, let alone starting up a new show with somebody else. Have you heard the term Chuggy? C-H-E-U-G-Y, pronounced Chuggy. And it means somebody who is out of date or trying too hard. Well, this little actress, Hilary Duff, just learned the word, and now she's desperate to know if she's Chuggy. Hilary Duff seems to get herself into trouble. When she was 16 years old and doing The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, well, you listen.
Now, what kind of cars do you like? Do you like it? You seem like the little Honda type.
Basically... Anything that has four wheels, yeah. But I'm obsessed with Hummers.
Oh, the big Humvee?
For sure. Could you imagine me? I'm like 5'1".
She had no idea. John Mulaney, you heard the story earlier this week that he got out of rehab and then immediately his wife filed for divorce. Well, he didn't waste any time. He's now seeing Olivia Munn. That girl gets around, by the way. All right, you got Keegan-Michael Key hosting Saturday Night Live over the weekend, the Miss Universe 2021 pageant. It's hard to believe that in 2021, we are still doing beauty pageants. I don't know. And if you want to pretend like you're still 22 again, the 2021 MTV Movie and TV Awards, hosted by Leslie Jones and Nikki Glaser from Kirkwood, Missouri, going to be Sunday night on MTV, 8 o'clock. Speaking of Nikki Glaser, she was on with Jimmy Fallon the other night.
Yeah, I now live in St. Louis, though. I got my own place, and I have a roommate. I convinced my best friend, who's a 41-year-old man, to come fly in from New York and live in St. Louis with me and start a podcast. And he's just my friend. Everyone thinks we're married. They're like, you're married. I'm like, no, he's my roommate. We share a place. We take care of a dog together, and we don't have sex. So... we're happily married, actually.
She is at the top of her game right now. I meant to tell you this. Colbert is working tonight. He's got Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish. Apparently, Tiffany Haddish is the front runner to replace Ellen. Now, keep in mind, Ellen's still going to be done for a long time. She's going to finish the rest of this year and all of next year, and then she's done. So she's still around for quite a while, but they're saying that the front runner to replace her in Ellen's deal is going to be Tiffany Haddish. We will see. And by the way, if you're a fan of Real Time with Bill Maher and you're expecting a fresh show tonight, that ain't going to happen. You know why? He's got COVID. And speaking of comedians, it was 23 years ago today, 1998, the final Seinfeld episode aired after 9 years on NBC. Now, Jerry Seinfeld, after that show, disappeared for almost the better part of a year. Nobody saw him. Nobody heard from him. He didn't do stand-up. He didn't show up anywhere. And then one night on Letterman, Julia Louis-Dreyfus shows up, and she's singing a song. She's a good singer, by the way. And listen to what happened. Keep in mind now, Jerry Seinfeld hadn't been seen or heard from in almost a year.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I know that I'm naive. Fellows I meet may tell me I'm sweet, and willingly I'll believe. I need someone older and wiser telling me what to do. You are 17, going on 18.
Julia. You are 16, going on 17. Fellas will fall in line. offer you food and wine. Totally unprepared are you
to face a world of men.
Timid and shy and scared are you
of things beyond my ken.
You need someone.
Letterman whispers to Seinfeld, "We'll give you a call." And just to wrap up the entertainment segment of today's podcast, Frank Sinatra had a heart attack, died on this date 23 years ago, 1998. He was 82. His last words were, "I'm losing." Birthdays, Rob Gronkowski, Tampa Bay Bucks, 32. Mark Zuckerberg, what do you give a man who has everything that you have stored in his computer? 37 today, Amber Tamblyn, 38, Kate Blanchett, 52, Tim Roth from Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, 60, Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway, 68, David Byrne, Talking Heads, 69, Robert Zemeckis, who I went to college with, Northern Illinois University, all he did was direct Forrest Gump, the Back to the Future trilogy, Romancing the Stone, Roger Rabbit, Castaway, Polar Express, The Witches, he's 69 today, George Lucas, 77, what are the chances that two of our most prominent directors had the same birthday, 77. Well, Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern had the same birthday. Birthdays for Saturday, Andy Murray, tennis stud, 34. Jimmy Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos, 40. Dan Patrick, 65. George Brett, 68. Chaz Palminteri, 69. On Sunday, Megan Fox turns 35. Tucker Carlson in his little bow tie, 52. Janet Jackson, 55. Deborah Winger, 66. Pierce Brosnan, 68. Danny Trejo is 77. A woman shared a story on TikTok about how she tried to diagnose a stomach problem she was having and told her doctor she believed it was prostate cancer. I guess she missed the anatomy class that day. Researchers in the UK say a massive drawing of a naked man that was carved into the side of a hill centuries ago might be older than they thought. 180 feet tall, and his defining attribute is one part of the male anatomy, and it is very erect. They used to think he was 400 years old, but now they think it's more like 1,100 years old. Researchers at Penn think they've identified the key gene associated with hearing loss could eventually lead to a cure for deafness. All right, you want to catch a cat? Don't chase it. You won't do it that way. All you do is lay a piece of paper, something square, or a cardboard box out in the middle of wherever the cat is, and the cat will run in there and sit down either in the box or on the square piece of paper. Cats love boxes, and a new study found they're drawn to squares in general, and they don't have to be 3D. If there's a square shape on the ground, your cat will go sit on it, and it even works with optical illusions when there's not an actual full square. Woman in Ohio hit in the face with a 10-pound log of prepackaged meat during a fight at Walmart. Hotel in Louisiana evacuated because of the smell of gasoline. You guessed it. Turned out a gas hoarder had two full cans in their room, or at least they were in cans and not in Schnucks plastic bags. A Hummer in Florida caught fire, was destroyed after the driver filled up a bunch of containers of gas. One of the underrated perks of working from home is that you get to use your own toilet. According to an article on Slate.com, now that lots of people are starting to go back to an office for the first time since the pandemic started, they're really not happy about the whole poop situation. And a new poll found 6% of Americans think they could beat up a grizzly bear even if they were unarmed. And 8% also think they could take down a gorilla. Again, somebody out with mono the week they were teaching about the strength of gorillas and grizzly bears. Tomorrow is the 12th anniversary of it being declared J.C. Corcoran Day in the city of St. Louis through some sort of clerical error. Well, it was my 25th anniversary of being on the radio in St. Louis, and so somebody called the mayor, and the mayor said, sure, why not? I got this proclamation about how cool I am. And as part of the whole thing, we did a deal with the Salvation Army involving donations, and I got to throw out the first pitch at a Cardinal game. Let me just tell you something, how daunting this is. Now, you got to remember, I play baseball, so I really had an advantage over the overwhelming majority of people who probably haven't thrown a baseball since high school, or maybe even longer than that. So, like I said, I was at a little bit of an advantage. But it is interesting because they really, really treat you special. They take you to a special room when you get to the ballpark, and they give you a bunch of swag. And then they bring you out up through the dugout, and there's people looking at you like, who the hell are you? Because I'd only been on radio and TV in St. Louis for 25 years at that point. Who the hell are you? And you come up through the dugout, and you know, you're hearing all the announcements. And I was just standing off to the side, you know, and there's my buddy John, the U-Man Hewlett, and he's making all the announcements because you're not the only one. There's a bunch of ceremonial first pitches, especially on a Friday night, and that's what this was. And then you hear your name being called, and you run out to the mound. And the first thing that you notice, see, because even as sportscasters and people with press passes and things like that, there is a clear dividing line where you can and cannot go on a baseball field. And you better not be up on that grass. You better be on the clay, on the equivalent of the warning track, but around, you know, behind home plate and by the dugouts. Don't ever think to yourself, if you're part of a group or something like that, I think I'll just go out there on the grass. It's the best way to get ejected from the ballpark. So one of the things that you notice when you go trotting out to the mound is how firm the infield is. It does not feel like you running around in your backyard. It's almost a hard surface. Very, very firm. And you notice that immediately. And then you go up on the mound, and as everybody will tell you, because people give you advice, and it's always aim high. Because people, YouTube is filled with videos of people making, shall we say, errant first pitches. People have been hit in the head, people in the face, photographers who weren't paying attention had gotten dinged. And I had it worked out with John because he's making the announcement, you know. It's like, and now celebrating his 25th anniversary in St. Louis to throw out the ceremonial first pitch, here's J.C. Corcoran and catching today's first pitch. And, of course, they usually have a Cardinal player come out, somebody who drew the short straw. I got a clue. It ain't going to be Yadi or Molina. It's going to be some guy that you couldn't even remember was on the team. But they bring him out. But in this particular case, John said, and catching today's ceremonial first pitch from J.C. Corcoran is, oh, it's me. And he threw his microphone off to the side, grabbed a catcher's mitt, got down on his haunches, and I threw a perfect strike right down the middle. You know why? Because I aimed high. And now this.
I've told the story before. I'm out in Los Angeles doing television interviews back in 1998 for a little movie I didn't know anything about called Sling Blade. And the guy who did the movie, the guy who's in the movie, is wearing a Cardinal baseball hat. And I'm like, what's the deal with the hat? He tells me the story about growing up in Arkansas. I don't know Billy Bob Thornton. He's telling me stories about, you know, idolizing Bob Gibson and throwing a ball through a tire like Bob Gibson said in some book or some record or something like that. I said, well, for heaven's sakes, you know, especially after you win the Oscar, you got to come down here to Busch Stadium and throw out the first pitch before a Cardinal game. And things got very busy for Billy Bob Thornton. And then eventually we were able to work it out. It took almost 2 years. And there's Billy Bob throwing ball on the sidelines prior to a big Cardinal game right in the middle of the home run chase. Mark McGwire, big nationally televised game on a Saturday afternoon. Billy Bob throws out the first pitch, and then Billy Bob Thornton, tell everybody what happened next, because I'm sure your memory of this is very vivid.
Well, I threw the ball out to Bob Gibson, who was been out in the clubhouse with Tony La Russa and McGwire, and Gibson was there that day, and Tony said, hey, listen, you know, Bob, you're the guy's hero. You should catch it for him, which, you know, that made my knees weak. I threw him a slider. I figured, you know, I'd learned my pitches out of his book when I was a kid. I threw him a slider, and it was a good one. And he came out and put the ball in my hand, and he And he said, "Man, that's a damn good slider. Where'd you get that?" And I said, I said, "Out of your book." And so then he really warmed up to me, and we talked a lot. And he told me some stories about he and Hank Aaron, and you know, it was just the greatest time because I'm a diehard Cardinal fan since I was a little kid, and it really meant a lot to me.
And by the way, just moments after you throw out the first pitch, big nationally televised game, Mark McGwire in the thick of the home run chase, and they toss him out of the game in the first inning. Rookie umpire, they get into a shouting match there, and McGwire's thrown out of the game. Billy Bob, I thought we were going to have a riot at Busch Stadium that afternoon.
I gotta tell you, I mean, having been a Cardinal fan forever, the St. Louis fans are the greatest in the world because they don't boo their players. And they're pretty good to the opposing teams. But that day, I'm with you. I thought there was going to be a riot over that ump. And I'm telling you, McGwire was right, too, because the ball nearly hit him in the ankle. The guy called it a strike, and it was his first at bat. And I had talked to Mark before the game, and we were going to hook up after the game and hang out a little bit. But I didn't even call his cell phone after that because I thought, you know what, he's not going to want to hang out tonight.
Yeah. Wrong. Timing is everything, right?
So they were playing the Braves that day.
Yeah, amazing.
All right, we're going to close the podcast today with something from the archives that I just love. We were just talking about the fact that there's a beauty pageant that's going to be on TV over the weekend. Yeah, let's see here. Miss Universe 2021. Pitbull will perform. And your hosts are Mario Lopez and Olivia Culpo. Now, you would think that Mario Lopez had learned his lesson. This goes back a couple of years. The Miss Teen USA pageant. And it was me and the U-Man and Laurie and Sparks. And you just might remember Miss South Carolina.
A blonde, very attractive young woman, though, who wasn't ready for this one that they threw at her.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina. Right.
You can make a fortune translating from stupid, though, I will tell you.
There's so much going on in there. She starts right off with U.S. Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's clear what she's doing. She's stalling, trying to think
I
of something.
I personally believe.
Yeah. She's stalling, and she comes out with really dumb stuff, I personally believe. Well, what else would you, why would you be saying if you didn't personally believe it? I personally believe. Oh, because really, we thought you were going to give the
opinion of Miss Michigan.
We thought that maybe you were going to take hers.
I can't spell Michigan.
So I personally believe that U.S. Americans, as opposed to Canadian Americans.
Mm-hmm. South Americans.
They're Americans, too.
And then all of a sudden, she just generates this thing, pulls it right out of her ass, this thing about South Africa. There wasn't even anything. South Africa wasn't even mentioned.
Yeah, it was about Americans.
She starts talking about South Africa and then, like, goes into this whole thing about South Africa.
And the Iraq.
Twice the Iraq.
The Iraq, because it's the Iraq war, so she just figures the country is known as
The Iraq.
Never seen it written down.
That's right,
anything.
The Iraq war, and the country of the Iraq really would probably like to get out of that war. And the Iraq people from the Iraq would also like to get out of it.
Such as.
And then just conjures this whole thing up, and it's just like you do a content analysis on it. She said nothing! One more time.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans...
Already in trouble.
...are unable to do so.
Because you've said nothing so far. You've already used up 10 seconds. Some people out there in our nation who can't find the U.S. Americans on the U.S. American map.
That's tough.
So some people out there in our nation, she's going somewhere now.
That don't have maps.
Yeah, they don't have maps because they certainly don't have computers or MapQuest or...
I can't refold them.
It's
hard.
Don't have one in the glove compartment.
And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa...
Our education, such as in South Africa.
Right.
All right. Now, my brain's not big enough to even understand what the hell she means by that. Our education. So it's been revealed that 20% of U.S. Americans can't find the United States of America on a world map. So she thinks it's because some people out there in our country don't have maps. Now all of a sudden she's in South Africa. How the hell did she get to South Africa?
And Iraq, everywhere such as.
So now she's in Iraq and South Africa. She just pulled out the only two countries she could remember.
I've been in bars and listened to drunk people make more sense than that.
But were they as cute? No.
The question is, why can't Americans find America on a map? And she's in the Iraq and South Africa, the only two countries she apparently is aware of. Although later on, she does mention Asia.
And I believe that they should...
Who's they?
Our education over here.
So she's back here now. She was briefly in the Iraq and South Africa.
And the U.S. should help the U.S.
Yeah, the U.S. should help the U.S.
Yes, it should.
God helps people who help themselves. The U.S. should help the U.S.
Or should help South Africa.
Or help South Africa. After you're done helping the U.S., get back over to South Africa because I was just there, you'll recall.
It should help the Iraq and the Asians.
Yeah, right. In the meantime, they're like, put this girl out of her misery, please. Somebody shoot her in the head. And she's still going. She's got her chime, and she's still trying to, like, mop up.
Countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
Thank you very much.
For our children.
South Carolina.
For our children. Fine.
Well, she had to talk about the city of Asian. There's just not enough time.
And you lose all respect for the host.
The host, of course, Mario Lopez, who graduated from Saved by the Bell, which took place where? In a school in the America of U.S.
So he never deserved any respect.
Oh, man. My diaphragm, my whole lower abdomen is in pain. I'm laughing at that thing. Anyhow, the thing is, as funny as it is just hearing it, wait until you see the sort of Kathy Lee Gifford-esque deer in the headlights look on this girl's face as she's trying to conjure this stuff up. It is hilarious. It's freaking hilarious.
That sound that was made when her time was up, was that something they hit her on the head with? That's the sound that came out of her skull?
Yeah. You know, we're not picking on women either because it's just dumb girls, because we pick on guys all the time too. Shaquille O'Neal.
Period. P-U-R-E-U-D, period.
Period. Okay, that's the end of that bit.
Miss South Carolina. I think they said it was Sparks. It was actually Carl as the fourth person in the room. And with that, we say have a great weekend, everybody. We're here every weekday morning at 7 o'clock. You can listen whenever you want. Download it. Knock yourself out. Have a great time. We'll talk to you on Monday morning, as I said. Have a terrific weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.